I think the game plan still is to keep the economy going until there can be a replacement of the dollar with a gold-backed currency. I do believe that's certainly still in the game plan, but not this year. Congress has to respond because there's going to be a lot of bank accounts exposed and wiped out if these banks go down. And basically, the major Wall Street banks are exposed on the repurchase agreements something to the order of between $40 and $50 trillion each. This is the historic effort, the historic opportunity we have to save ourselves from this global elite. And I believe that's the war that's going on right now.
Cannabis is the fastest growing industry in the U.S. Don't miss out on all the fantastic opportunities that exist. I have three free tools for you to cash in on the wave. The 2020 Jobs Infographic, the free ebook on the 500 hottest jobs in the industry, and the CBD ebook. Look for the links below or at sarahwestall.com under shop. Remember, these are 100% free to you. Welcome to Business Game Changers. I'm Sarah Westall. I have Wayne Jett coming back. He is great. It's one of my listeners' favorite guests, and he hasn't been on a while, so we need to have him back. And he's been writing some really good blog pieces on various topics, and so I wanted to go through what the Fed's doing and possibly allowing their friends, the elites, to buy up a lot of assets while the dollar still can. And of course, we can't audit the Fed, so they get to do whatever they want. It really irks me that we can't audit the Fed and then yet they get control of our dollars. It really bothers me a lot because no sane business person or sane person would ever let anybody do that to your own finances or to your business finances. Why do we let that happen to the country's finances? Anyways, and then he talks about why the paranoia, you know, the impeachment really showed a paranoia and it's just a craziness that's going on in Washington, D.C. And he talks about the crimes that are being covered up and how that all points to that. And so we dive into that. And then lastly, he's going to talk about the Harvard Law Review and this crazy article they put through on having Washington, D.C. be the representation of the whole country, but through the 127 neighborhoods that exist there. And he explains that. To me, it sounds like a Onion article, not one that you would see in the Harvard Law Review. And his argument is that they put articles like that in major publications that have a lot of credibility to do the game plan for the insiders, because it for the next 50 years or for the next, even in the short run, whatever they're trying to do, because that's a repeated pattern that you see. Otherwise, why would they do it? Or it's some test to see if people even notice. It's an Onion article in the Harvard Review. It seems that crazy to me. But maybe with what we've seen lately, that the people, the powers that should not be, are that crazy. I mean, they're trying to do a world government. They're trying to do these things. So are they crazy enough to try to do something like this? I mean, the Harvard Law Review published it. So I have a link below to it. I also have a link in my website on the show episode so that you can see it for yourself. They also recommended amendments to the Constitution after we institute something like this. And so he goes through what those amendments are. Again, just craziness. But we've already seen so much out of your mind stuff. And like he says, I think this is so true that we've seen things that are just so crazy. And the media acts like it's legit. They talk about it like it's legit, but in any sane person's world, it's not legit, but they treat it like it is. So I think that's why it's really turning into the legacy media, because they're so bad. And people are tuning in to, you know, shows, independent journalists like me. And so I thank you for tuning in. Thank you. People all over the world are tuning in. My show is reaching the top of the charts in most Western countries. And I just thank you so much for that, because that's the kind of support. That means that there's people out there, they want the real news. They want independent journalism. They're sick and tired of this legacy media lying to them. And you're going to get the real news, the best I can at least, from me. You're going to get it from me as much as I can. And I want to tell you, the virus, we're working very hard at getting out a solution to everyone. Probably by the time this show airs, we already have a sound file, and we're getting, if anybody, please, we need to mobilize and get this to people. So thank you so much for everything that you do. You can join my Patreon to support this channel in independent journalism. You can shop my affiliates at Sarah Westall under shop. There's coupons. There's special coupons for Patreons. So again, build up your immunities as well. C60 is there. Do your vitamin C, do your elderberry, do your colloidal silver, do all those things that you can that works for you. C60, I think, is the best. According to Dr. Joe, it builds it by 70%, but at least focus on it. Eat your vitamins, eat vegetables, eat fruits, eat the things that are good for you. Okay, enough lecturing. Let's get into this great interview with Wayne Jett. Wayne, thank you so much for rejoining the program.
Thank you, Sarah, for having me. It's great to see you again.
Yeah, I haven't had you on for, 6 months? And I'm missing the Wayne Jett experience, so we needed to have you back.
Uh-huh. Well, it's certainly mutual, so there's plenty to talk about, so let's get at it.
Yeah, well, you've done a lot of different articles lately, and some of them are very eye-opening, and very timely, obviously. Everything you do is timely. But so I want to talk about three of them specifically, and I don't know if they're your three latest. I think they're three out of the four latest. But let's talk about the Fed first, because, you know, when you analyze what the central bankers are doing, what they're talking about, doing a global currency, doing the carbon loaning based on what your carbon footprint, I mean, all the BS that they're doing, you know that they're ready to do a reset. But you're seeing this. It's like they're taking away every ounce of extra value that's in the market and using it for other purposes. Can you talk about that?
Well, yes, I'd be happy to. I think in the overall situation that ordinarily the game plan for the Fed this year would be, in light of this president's policies, would be to crash the economy. To try to thwart the re-election of President Trump. And they were on their way to doing that, shrinking the money supply, raising interest rates and so forth, and things were not looking so great. But he's been able to pressure them away from that. Opens him to being criticized for promoting a weak money or the fiat dollar to run it to zero and so forth. You have to look at the overall game plan of what's to be done. There is a problem of having interest rates so artificially low. It's the Keynesian approach to make the market do whatever you want it to do based on your own ability to control financial events. Nevertheless, I think the game plan still is to keep the economy going until there can be a replacement of the dollar with a gold-backed currency. I do believe that's certainly still in the game plan, but not this year. Now, the Fed normally calls the shots. They have apparently acceded to the president's wishes, at least on the surface, that is, of keeping interest rates lower. And in order to do that, partly, I've explained my view that I think the repurchase agreements are used as a way of snubbing down the market interest rates. But nevertheless, there is a very detrimental effect of those repurchase agreements. It is that the repurchase agreements is a financing arrangement that I think really is only really useful to the very big mega banks, so that they can get overnight money, very short-term money, in order to accomplish the purposes of their clients. And their clients are primarily the big hedge funds and those that like to get lots and lots and lots of leverage and take very, you know, if things go wrong, they go very wrong. But in the meantime, while they make the game work, they get some money on a basis. Now, why would they take the longer range risk while they are making money on, just to make money on a short-term basis? Well, it would seem to me that one of the things that they do as a sort of regular procedure is that they get into tight places as they did in 2008 and then demand a bailout from the federal government. And to do that, they produce even more money. But in order to get the political leverage, they have put their account holders at risk. That is, ordinary people who use the banking community, the big banks, for their banking accounts. All of those assets now are at risk because of their very leveraged activities in repurchase agreements with the major banks and the and their hedge fund clients. So in those circumstances, it's as if Congress has to respond because there's going to be a lot of bank accounts exposed and wiped out if these banks go down. The real solution is to go back to Glass-Steagall and to get protection of that kind so that you must segregate your investments in the stock market and so forth from any exposure of your ordinary banking customers. Right now, they're fully exposed.
Well, and they were supposed to do that.
Yes.
Right? They were supposed to reinitiate that after 2008, and they never did because they want to use those assets for their purpose.
Yes, and they get that political leverage by making ordinary people exposed to losing entirely their accounts at banks if they go down, and particularly if one or more goes down. If you look at that situation, for example, with the repurchase agreements, you can go down the list, and basically the major Wall Street banks are exposed on the repurchase agreements something to the order of between $40 and $50 trillion each. So in that circumstance, one goes down and then you have more of a chain reaction, and you can lay it on other people's problems and the nation as a whole if they're not somehow saved by the federal government again. And that has been done by creating the fiat money in unending amounts that supposedly gives real value when it doesn't. Well, it's a great risk, but nevertheless, in order to get past this election and this impeachment thing, the phony impeachment, I have to describe it as, because by no means, in my opinion as a lawyer, was there anything at all impeachable involved. In fact, the inquiry into the Bidens in Ukraine is an absolutely completely appropriate thing for a succeeding president to do, because otherwise, how are you ever going to get investigation and punishment of the trillions in graft? I'm sorry, I'm slipping into the trillions again, but at least billions in graft that are regularly elicited somehow from the economy. by our major office holders.
Yeah, I want to get back to the Burisma and to the Ukraine and all that stuff. But let me ask you before we get off the thing of the Fed. The Fed doesn't is private. I mean, they're not, nobody can audit them. So if the dollar is going to go down, they can steal and, take as much skim as much as they want off the top before the dollar resets and give it to their buddies, and we can't legally audit them.
Well, that's right. We don't know what they're doing, and it's really hard to to be an analyst of the Fed and know anything for certain when you rely upon the numbers they put out. I've done quite a bit of that just to the best of my ability, but you can't rely on that kind of analysis when they really do not permit an audit. Who in the world?
Well, and when we did do an audit, right? When we did do an audit, it exposed so much that they had to push back even harder to not allow themselves to be audited. I mean, it
Yes.
was just so bad. It was so bad. It was so beyond what anybody expected that what do you think they're doing now? If they're doing what they are publicly, what are they doing privately?
Well, they're in the end game, in my estimation. The problem with trying to track what inflation has done to us over the past 100 years is that every time you get to that next year, you're at a value of the dollar, which is 100% of what it is right now. And so it's hard to then you start saying, well, how much farther can we go down 100% from here? Well, it is just a dwindling chain, so that going to actual zero and getting the wheelbarrows full of currency of the current size, it seems so out of the realm of possibility that people don't suspect that that's what's really happening. But if you look at what's happened over the last 100 years, I mean, we're back and we're down to the last percent or two of what the value of the dollar was then. And they're certainly able to, they're still able to use the dollar right now to buy hard assets the world over. And they're doing it. And I think these dollars that they're generating are allowing people to do that right now, becoming more wealthy. And it gives them all the more incentive that when they exit, they will have the hard assets, and everyone else will have the currency that's worth nothing.
Yeah, which is just crazy. That's why the people who are listening, at least do what you can while you can. Okay, let's get into the impeachment, which is a farce, but let's get beyond that and talk about what's behind it and the crazy behavior you're seeing from the Democrats. I think there's twofold going on. There's the Democrats who are really on the far left, who are really into creating these re-education camps. They're Maoists, they're Leninists, they're true communists. I mean, they really are. They're way out there. And then you have the criminals who are trying to cover up for what is, the crimes that they've committed. How many, and I want to get back to the communists, but how many, I got a level set here. How much are the Republicans involved too? I mean, because it's not just a one-sided government. We both know that Republicans have been involved in crime as well as the Democrats.
Well, I've said for many years that there's only one establishment. It happens to run both parties. It unfortunately has picked most of our presidential candidates in the past, and I think the one exception, well, Reagan was pretty close to it, but he got saddled with an establishment vice president and almost paid with his life within a few months after his inauguration. Because of it. And in that circumstance, when you have that same establishment, definitely deciding that establishment, so-called, or the global cabal, as I've often referred to it, in 1880 decided that as far as the U.S. was concerned, they could not just rely upon controlling the Republican Party, the Democrat Party. They had to control the Republican Party as well. And so their approach has been dual parties, two major parties controlling each of them and their candidates, making sure that whichever candidate got elected, he's their guy. In large part, the history of the United States has been that those who are not their guys get shot, assassinated in some way or other. And it's a problem that we live with today. And I give thanks nightly for the safety of the president and for all those who are protecting him and so forth. It happens that, in my estimation, we had the rare exception of a man able and willing to use his own money to get elected without taking the support of those who have elected presidents in the past. And in doing so, I believe he got the assurances in advance that his safety would be safeguarded as greatly and carefully as possible. Otherwise, of course, the effort is of no value. And so far, we've been very successful. And despite the continuing attacks on him by this globalist cabal, their objective, as we know, is to destroy all national governments. The U.S. is right at the head of that list, because as long as we survive, others may as well. But we've been pretty far down the pipeline ourselves in terms of being almost too late to do anything. But I think that this is the historic effort, the historic opportunity we have to save ourselves from this global elite. And I believe that's the war that's going on right now.
Well, and that's what you're seeing. Is that what we're seeing play out with the impeachment, which was just so obvious that it was made up? The Russiagate, the thing after thing after thing that's happening?
Yes, no doubt about it. They have been throwing anything against the wall to get it to try to stick in order to get him out, because they know he's after the cabal and he's after the graft and corruption. It's not just dollars, even up into the billions involved in the waste and corruption. There's evidence coming out about the foreign aid we've been giving and the amount of kickbacks and that. Not to some foreign oligarch that we call them. We're talking about the American, the U.S. barons. And of course, we've had this situation now in which we didn't even honor the Constitution by electing an American citizen, a natural-born American citizen in the previous administrations. And so it is possible to ignore the Constitution in so many respects and to misuse it and abuse it. It certainly has been done in this so-called impeachment scam that is a blot against the House and its membership that has been abused so badly, supposedly on behalf of the American people. Absolutely not. It's been in behalf of protecting against prosecution for crimes of a major nature. I believe from the Speaker right on down and up various administrations. So, yes, it's a desperate time for them. That's the reason you see this continuing thing, even in the obvious circumstance of a speaker who said it never should be taken when it's only political. Well, it wasn't just political. It's a lot of people trying to dodge punishment for very serious crimes. They cannot take the scrutiny of an honest administration.
Well, it's so obvious. So, well, let's talk about this communist surge that's going on. Are they simply just useful idiots for the global elite, and they're kind of egging them on? Because if they are successful at getting, the more successful they get at getting our countries to be more communist, centralized control, the easier it is for the global elite to take over.
Well, they are using the kind of tactics that totalitarian governments have used historically. When they get in power, and they must stay in power, they use whatever tactic is necessary. And they certainly use physical intimidation, killing, all kinds of circumstances. You give it various names and various regimes around the world, but they use the force necessary. Socialism is the kind of system you have when basically the people have lost their power, they've given up, and they go along, and they're compliant. So you can call it socialism. When they're not so compliant, when they fight, when they risk their lives, when they give their lives, you call it communism, and you call it Nazism or something else. But it's all a matter of those in power insisting upon staying there and using whatever tactics they have to bring to bear in order to do it. Whatever works within the framework of the control they have over public communications and the news people have, the information people have, and how much they know about what you're doing and when they can prove your lies and when they can't. This is the kind of system they brought in here, and we're seeing this so-called turmoil because that's how desperate they are. They're in the situation of perhaps losing power and, heaven forbid, being brought to task for the crimes that they've been committing regularly on a broad scale basis while in power. So they don't want their lies of the past discovered.
Well, because it's so obvious. Anybody who can't see that they're desperate and behaving really strangely. Okay, you had another article that is a little out there for me, and being a lawyer for you, you probably, it went red flags all over the place, because I know you sent me an email on it and everything else. And this is what they published in the Harvard Review about creating 127 states based out of Washington, D.C. Can you talk about that?
Happy to do so. I might just say a few preliminaries on it, that law reviews of major law schools, of any law school, are not playthings. They're not play toys. They're not comic books. They are the face to the world of how serious and respectable a particular university law school is. And of course, Harvard Law School, where does it rank? Certainly in its own mind, right at the very top. So this is a matter of prestige for them. They do not use it for entertainment purposes. The particular item that came to my attention was a law note. A law note is ordinarily prepared by student members of the law that are on the so-called law review editorial board. They do the research and work on it and so forth, but they are guided by the parts of the faculty who are responsible for working with the law review, particularly in that subject area. So these are serious things that they use to add to their prestige and to show the quality of their thinking. And so we come to this particular law note that's in this most recent issue of the Harvard Law Review, the one that was published in January of 2020. And it basically is a discussion about the need for and the means of achieving a complete revamping of the system of power distribution under the Constitution of the United States. It is exactly that serious. And it would do so by subterfuge, by this plan that it seems to me that no serious person, except in this weird world we've been having lately of saying crazy things and the media acting like they're perfectly sensible, to suggest the idea that the best way to get equal representation for people around the United States and every American have an equal vote is to centralize the power over both the Senate and the House of Representatives. Both houses of Congress would be centralized, given control completely to the District of Columbia and its neighborhoods.
What does that mean? Yeah, what would that mean?
What those they crow with a particular statement in that particular description. Why could we depend upon the D.C. neighborhoods giving acceptable representation to all people across the country? Because they dependably voted in every neighborhood for the Democratic Party in the most recent elections.
Is that where the 127 number comes from? Because it's That's how many neighborhoods they have in Washington, D.C.